wiped the blade of his knife and laid down the oar. Then he found the sheet, and the sail filled, and he brought the skiff onto her course.
"I must have taken a quarter of him, and of the best meat," he said aloud. "I wish it were a dream, and that I had never hooked him. I'm sorry about it, fish. It makes everything wrong." He stopped, and he did not want to look at the fish now. Drained of blood and awash, he looked the color of the silver backing of a mirror, and his stripes still showed. "I shouldn't have gone out so far, fish," he said. "Neither for you nor for me. I'm sorry, fish." "Now," he said to himself, "look to the lashing and the knife. See if it has been cut. And get your hand in order, because there still is more to come." "I wish I had a stone for the knife," the old man said after he'd checked the lashing on the oar butt. "I should have brought a stone." "You should have brought many things," he thought, "but you did not bring them, old man. Now is no time to think of what you do not have. Think of what you can do with what there is." "You give me much good counsel," he said aloud. "I'm tired of it." He held the tiller under his arm and soaked both his hands in the water as the skiff drove forward. "God knows how much that last one took," he said. "But she's much lighter now." He did not want to think of the mutilated underside of the fish. He knew that each of the jerking bumps of the shark had been meat torn away, and that the fish now made a trail for all sharks as wide as a highway through the sea. He was a fish to keep a man all winter, he thought. "Don't think of that. Just rest and try to get your hands in shape to defend what is left of him. The blood smell from my hands means nothing now with all that scent in the water. Besides, they do not bleed much. There's nothing cut that means anything. The bleeding may keep the left from cramping." "What can I think of now?" he thought. "Nothing. I must think of nothing and wait for the next ones. I wish it had really been a dream," he thought. "But who knows? It might have turned out well." The next shark that came was a single shovel nose. He came like a pig to the trough, if a pig had a mouth so wide that you could put your head in it. The old man let him hit the fish and then drove the knife and the oar down into his brain. But the shark jerked backwards as he rolled, and the knife blade snapped. The old man settled himself to steer. He did not even watch the big shark sinking slowly in the water, showing first life size, then small, then tiny. That always fascinated the old man, but he did not even watch it now. "I have the gaff now," he said, "but it will do no good. I have the two oars and the tiller and the short club. Now they have beaten me," he thought. "I am too old to club sharks to death. But I will try it as long as I have the oars and the short club and the tiller." He put his hands in the water again to soak them. It was getting late in the afternoon, and he saw nothing but the sea and the sky. There was more wind in the sky than there had been, and soon he hoped that he would see land. "You're tired, old man," he said. "You're tired inside."
The sharks did not hit him again until just before sunset. The old man saw the brown fins coming along the wide trail the fish must make in the water. They were not even quartering in the scent. They were headed straight for the skiff, swimming side by side. He jammed the tiller, made the sheet fast, and reached under the stern for the club. It was an oar handle from a broken oar, sawed off to about 2.5 feet in length. He could only use it effectively with one hand because of the grip of the handle, and he took good hold of it with his right hand, flexing his hand on it as he watched the sharks come. They were both galanos.
"I must let the first one get a good hold and hit him on the point of the nose or straight across the top of the head," he thought.
The two sharks closed together, and as he saw the one nearest him open his jaws and sink them into the silver side of the fish, he raised the club high and brought it down heavy and slamming onto the top of the shark's broad head. He felt the rubbery solidity as the club came down. But he felt the rigidity of bone, too, and he struck the shark once more, hard across the point of the nose, as he slid down from the fish. The other shark had been in and out, and now came in again with his jaws wide. The old man could see pieces of the meat of the fish spilling white from the corners of his jaws as he bumped the fish and closed his jaws. He swung at him and hit only the head, and the shark